just been joined by Mark Lee from Lifeline. Now, we were just chatting about, because we're doing this a little bit later on, about, you know, songs that guilty pleasures that probably someone would never ever steal. And yes, we've picked one. I think ours is virtually the same, yeah, isn't it? It's Bardo, yeah, One Step Further, because we love that song.
Oh,
what about you?
Mine, I have to confess, was the Cha-Cha Slide by DJ Casper.
No one's going to nick that, are
no
they?
One's going to nick that. No,
it's pretty safe,
it's
in
really
your collection.
Safe, absolutely.
Which leads us on nicely. We were, I mean, this feature is slightly different today because we're going to talk about something else, but obviously we'll do that at a later date.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to look at retail security, but we'll postpone that one to a later date. And I thought what we'd look at today is just really a bit of an overrun from what we discussed last night, actually, on Darren's show. And that's the cost of business interruption. What the actual costs now involved in not having security in place?
Well, I'm just looking back now because we we've got a lot of stuff here that we couldn't, if it went missing, we wouldn't be able to provide the service.
Yeah.
And I don't, to be honest, I don't think we've ever not had some kind of alarm system.
Mm.
But I bet there's people out there that don't have that in place, nothing in place.
Yeah, and we've looked at a couple of examples. One we just tapped onto last night was, you know, let's take somebody, you know, the island's full of places like these, little beauticians, hairdressers, nail salons, that kind of thing. Whilst the actual stock itself is not necessarily incredibly attractive, what would happen to those organisations if they did get an intrusion? And what would happen the following day? I looked at a couple of things, just trying to go through it in order, really, of what would happen. Is, first of all, you've got the police on site. They send scenes of crime down, and they want to take their forensic evidence and so forth. So, you know, the place is covered in police, so that doesn't look good for a start. Then you maybe got broken windows which need to be boarded up, which isn't great for the business, doesn't make the business look good. Then, because of all of that, there's potentially going to be business disruption. So they've now got to start to ring clients and say, sorry, you know that hair appointment that you made 10 weeks ago, because some of them, you know, have got very, very long lead-in times, we can't do it today because we had an intrusion. Now you've got a loss of reputation. And all these sudden spin-off things which are really non-quantifiable, you can't put a figure on them, but that has a real detrimental effect on the business.
So how do we, and I know it's probably a daft question, but you're the expert, how do we counteract that?
Well, the good thing is, as we were discussing last night, is crime is actually reducing in this country, especially things like burglary, which is great. But the reason that is happening is because people are taking security that much more seriously. They are taking responsibility for security within their own properties. So it's opportunism, isn't it, really, at the end of the day? It'd be like, we've got a fire. A fire needs three things. It needs a heat source, it needs fuel, and it needs oxygen. If you take any one of those three elements away, then you can't have a fire. And the same with security and crime. You need a victim, you need a perpetrator, and you need an opportunity.
Yeah.
If we take any one of those three things away, then the crime is reduced, it's taken away. So if we can take away the opportunity for people, there's not going to be a victim, there's not going to be a perpetrator.
No, that kind of makes common sense. There's so many questions I want to ask you about this, because it's a fascinating thing. You must have seen so many changes, you know, over the last few years. And I'm just thinking, when you make a statement like, and I'm not doubting it by any stretch, because in actual fact, over the last few years, you notice that being in the news, you get so many breaking stories. And I know that the last one that I remember was somewhere where some charity money was stolen a little while ago. You used to get a story in the news maybe once a week, maybe once a fortnight, but they don't appear so often nowadays. So I would imagine that's a fact. But we may be in our mindset thinking, well, there's more people living on the Isle of Wight, so therefore crime must be up.
It's quite a difficult thing to quantify. Again, we were discussing this last night, and is it down to the reporting? Is it people just not bothering to report anymore? Is it the fact that maybe the police are just not considering it as a reportable crime? So there's lots of different things. It is true to say that I think it is reducing because people are taking it more seriously. But we will probably, as a company, we'll probably see at least maybe two or three people a month at least that have been a victim of crime. Those that have either had intrusions, break-ins. I saw a lady just recently who actually confronted an intruder in her house, and that's here on the island. So these things do happen. It's just a question of how they're supposed to get out into the media now and how many people know about them.
But how do you find that the difference in the way people accept it? You know, I would imagine a little old lady at home or a family at home, they would take it a little bit more personally than maybe a company would.
Mm. That's the difference. We've got two demographics there. You've got domestically, even if somebody hasn't lost a great deal, the potential could be, you know, for things like TVs and DVD players and cameras and laptops and so forth, which we've discussed before. And in many cases, sometimes if you've got an old TV and someone comes in and steals it, they might be doing us a bit of a favour because the insurance company will send us a check and say, here, have a nice new TV, which is great. The flip side to that is the emotional aspect, the emotions that people go through, the fact that somebody's been in their house uninvited is really, really quite terrifying for a lot of people. And a great number of people actually can't live in their house any longer. They actually want to move. So that's quite a problem. And then you've got the business community. Their problem is obviously increased premiums, business disruption, loss of data. That's the big area for them. It's a business interruption, is a non-quantifiable thing. It could be that people are losing thousands of pounds a day because their business has been interrupted. So a small investment in security would stop that.
So, I mean, you mentioned something. I might have missed the trick earlier on, but I'm thinking about it now. You mentioned hotels and luggage and things like that. How do they get over things like that? Because it's not like, in some cases, you might not even have to break in. You're already there.
Yeah,
how do they get over that?
We were discussing this, I think, a couple of weeks ago when Jonathan was here. It's this social compliance thing. You know, if people are brazen enough to look like they are meant to be in the location they're meant to be in, they can kind of get away with anything. And we've noticed, we've been discussing with people recently, hotels have had theft of luggage that's maybe been left in reception ready for coaches to pick up. And because maybe the hotel hasn't got security in place, things have been stolen, possibly even whole suitcases have been taken away. They emptied the contents, and that could contain any number of personal items like cameras and laptops and so forth.
Let's be honest, the chances of it containing expensive equipment nowadays are pretty good, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely, because most of us have got something or other. You know, we must have got an iPhone or a tablet or something that's relatively technically based.
So do you know many hotels that, obviously we're not going to name them, but do you know many hotels that don't have any kind of CCTV or anything in this, in you know, because that could be quite a worry for people when they turn up with their bags expecting to be safe, and, you know, it's not like they're going to be burgled, it's the fact that whoever might steal this, they could already be in there as a guest.
Mm. Yeah. I would say probably the vast majority of hotels probably haven't got any form of security. And it's purely and simply, it's never been necessary before, but we're living in a very, very fast-changing world. Yeah. People are that much more security conscious. Personally, whenever I go anywhere, if I go away and I'm looking for a hotel, I will always choose a hotel that's got CCTV in a car park, you know, because that's just something I look for. But it's only when it comes to problems that maybe a guest says, well, look on your CCTV, and when a hotel says, we haven't got it, the expectation from the customer is, well, why haven't you got it? You should have CCTV, you should have security in place for me.
Absolutely. I mean, in this day and age, you would think that, wouldn't you?
You would now, because 20 years ago, if someone stole your case, all they'd be stealing was your dirty washing that you'd be taking home, wouldn't it? You know, if it was there for collection. But like you say, now you'd have your laptop or, you know, even DSs and things, the kids' games in it and stuff like that.
There's a really good chance that you're going to have, you know, whichever case you nick, even if it was like an elderly person, sorry if you're elderly and listening, you think, well, I've got the technology, don't you worry. But, you know, there could be all sorts of things in there these days. Like you say, we could name them, with, you know, tablets, mobile phones, those things you have books on, what are they called?
Kindles.
That's them. I mean, you know, you're going on holiday,
all sorts,
so there's a good chance that you may...
But even older people use things like that as well, don't they?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It doesn't. You know, nowadays, there's a good chance. I mean, I don't want to give somebody a good idea for a business here, but you know, there is a good chance every time you pick up a suitcase. It'd be interesting to see if we did a test and we went somewhere where, okay, you tested 100 suitcases. How many suitcases have actually got something worth? You know, and it could be jewellery, it could be anything.
But not even technology. I mean, like hair dryers and straighteners. Most people have them now, don't they?
Yeah, I was saying last night, actually, that, you know, you obviously know better than I do, but GHD hair straighteners, they're really expensive. And, you know, the girls have got straighteners, and they've got curlers, and then they've got dryers, and they're all of a certain manufacturer. And if you look at it, those hair products could be costing, what, £200 or £300?
And you think that most places, I mean, whether it's a hotel, whether it's, you know, any kind of place where you're going to go and stay, you would think that most people would have the common sense and have something in place, even if it was a dummy camera. But, you know, you're saying that there's quite a few that aren't. That's a worry. That's a massive concern.
I think it is a concern because it's never happened to somebody, so therefore why do I need to do anything about it? And we tend to find that the people that are the most secure and the most security aware are those that have had a bad experience. And it's normally people that have had an intrusion, they've had a theft or a loss or something, that they actually do something about it. No matter where they go, whether they move house, whether they relocate somewhere else, they will always, that'll be top of their agenda, I must put security in place because of my previous bad experiences. So, you know, that is a concern, obviously, for... Yeah, and you know, we don't want to frighten people, but you know, for companies such as hoteliers, they've got a responsibility as well. That if they can then say to their guests and promote to their guests, we are protected by CCTV. And if you're looking at somewhere to stay, and you think, well, this one is protected, this one isn't, then I know which one I would choose.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you there. I'm just trying to think of the reasons why you wouldn't put that in place if you were a hotelier. I'm just thinking they must get a lot of Mr. and Mrs. Smiths in, and you know, is that a reason?
I think, to be brutally honest, it's a product they have to purchase that they can't sell on again. It's, you know, we're all in business to make money at the end of the day. If I need to buy a product at our organisation that we can't sell on again, we need to have. You know, it's got to be a very, very informed choice. You know, we can't buy it, sell it and make money on it. So for us, it's just a bottom line cost. And it's the same for any organisation, especially hotels, because it can be quite difficult.
But yeah, you made a point earlier on, and we've got to enhance this because, say, you know, the crime rate, the theft rate is down, and that's only because more and more people are looking after what they've got. They've actually realised that, you know, they've got expensive things and they've got things in place. But obviously those people that haven't, maybe they should talk to an expert. That's where you come in.
That's where we come in, absolutely. Our talk is completely free, so, you know, people can always contact us, pop in, talk to us up at Riverway. You know, it costs absolutely nothing to talk. And to be honest, when we're protecting items as well, the value of the security that we put in compared to sometimes the products that we're protecting is negligible.
So if you just say, for instance, if you're a hotelier and you're listening and you're thinking, right, okay, well, we haven't, and I know we should, I mean, how much roughly would a system cost for a hotel, just a, you know, cameras and so on?
Depending on the size of the hotel, I mean, what we could do is always discuss with them, why don't we build something straight away that's going to be scalable for them, you know, so they haven't got to put it all in at once. You know, if a hotel says, oh, I think we need 16 cameras, well, do you need to put in all 16 cameras now? You know, put in two or three cameras now. Let's say the pinch points, everybody who comes in through the front door, everybody who calls at reception, that may be a really, really good starting point. And probably for about £1,200-£1,300, an organisation's got something in place relatively quickly and easily that they can then build on and expand.
It doesn't, you know, for a hotel that kind of size, it doesn't seem an awful lot of money. And I would imagine that when you think about it, when they go to get their insurance, you know, sorted out year on year, they must have to answer the question, have you got some kind of security in place? And I'm guessing that if they had, it would cost slightly cheaper.
I would hope so. I think certainly what we have noticed over recent years is insurance companies are driving attention to security as well. Previously, you know, 20 years ago, if you had locks on your doors, you know, they would give you a discount. If you put an alarm in, they give you another discount. If you did something else, they give you another discount as well. Now, what we're finding is insurance companies are saying, well, even if you want us to consider you as a risk, you will have done those things before we'll even take you on as a customer. Yeah. So you're now not getting discount, but before we even consider you as a customer, you will have done all those things.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it just to me, it makes sense. If you're helping yourself, then obviously they're going to help you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how do we get that advice? How do we get hold of you?
You can call us on 521-621. Any of the team that answer the phone will be happy to talk to anyone. You can log on to our website, which is lifeline-security.co.uk. Either that or stop one of our vans if you can. Talk to the driver and
give him a whistle.
There's a way of stopping it. Just don't jump out.
No, because they've been known not to stop, unfortunately.
Cost a fortune on his insurance.
Just tell me that number and the details again, because I got
521-621-621.
Yeah.
That's our phone number, and the website is lifeline-security.co.uk.
Right, I've written that down. Okay. And it's a great test, because I'm thinking, right, if those people at home, if I haven't written it down, they're probably struggling to find a pen because someone's nicked it.
Well, I did notice that you've nicked one of our pens, though. Is that a Lifeline pen you're writing with?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, where did you nick that from?
Last time you were in there.
Probably, yeah. Can't trust anyone here, can you?
No, you can't, can you? It's not going to explode in my face or anything like that.
No, but it is bugged and we are monitoring it.
So squirt yeah. water.
All right, we'll see you in a month's time.
Fantastic.
It really opens my eyes, and it kind of... Don't you go around the house now thinking, you know, right, I need to... And you think in a different way. You really do. You
I think like
think.
A burglar.
And that is, you've given us that advice before, where you have to almost... Sadly, that's the way we've become, but that's probably why the rate is down. Because we are...
And what we're doing is we're taking away that opportunity.
Yeah.
So we're just removing that element of the potential crime taking place, and that stops it.
Excellent. As ever, it's a pleasure. Thank you for coming
Thanks,
in.
Thanks, Ian.